You've heard from the two managers. Now it's time to hear from the expert. That's right. I'm delighted to say that joining me here on World Football Daily from the busy, busy news desk of Bleacher Report is our one of our favourite guests to have on the show to talk all things English football and a little bit of Champions League review. Of course, it's the one, the only, Mr. Will Tidy from Bleacher Report joining us here. Will, a pleasure to have you on, mate. Sounds like you're having a very busy day today.
Yeah, very well, thanks, Ollie. Just doing the normal morning run, chores and such like, but excited to talk about the action this week.
Delighted that you can fit us in into your busy schedule. You're normally, you know, schmoozing with footballers' biggest names on Bleacher Report and stuff, so I'm very happy to hear that you can keep us in your schedule, that's for sure, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure to come on, and I think we've got a lot to talk about this week.
There is plenty to talk about. First and foremost, I want to dive straight into this red card debate after the Champions League. Two games were supposedly ruined by refereeing decisions to not only award penalties but send off players as well. Where do you stand on this double punishment idea, and do you think it should be just a penalty and no red card when the likes of Di Michaelis and Chesney do what they did this midweek?
I'm slightly torn on it, Ollie, to be honest, because I like rules to be clear, and I think having the rule as being a professional foul is a red card, and that's the rule, there's something to appeal in that. I think you do complicate it if you then say it's a red, if it happens outside the box, it's a yellow if it's inside the box. I think as much as that might serve a need, I'm not sure that's the way to go forward. My one thought, I felt like with the Robin foul, I'm not certain he was going to get that ball and slot that home. It seemed like it passed Chesney quite a way. So that's my one question on that red. It seems a referee with a goalkeeper foul goes automatically to a red card. And I think the consideration must be, was he going to score? I think with Messi, it was a straightforward red, and the debate is more about whether it was inside the box or not. But I think with the Robin incident, I'm not convinced he was going to get hold of that one and definitely score.
It's surprising because there are a number of people that are on the fence with this, whether Robin would have got there or wouldn't have got there. I have to say, Will, I'm on the side that I think he would. When you look at a player whose touch and feet are so quick in general, how come you just think that he wouldn't have had the balance coming down from that sort of height after that control?
Well, I just think if the referee's got any doubt on his mind, he has to go yellow card, in my opinion. And that's just my perspective. And other people go on the side of the attacker. I just feel like a red card, the referee must be 100% certain to give a red card. I think that has to be the rule. And in my mind, Messi is 100% red card. Robin, the referee, for me, even if you're... And I agree with you. I see what you're saying. Robin's a very quick, agile player. And yes, a good chance he might have got to that ball, and even at a tight angle, slotted it home. But the referee has to have an element of doubt. You know, would he not? And if there's a slight, you know... a slight element of doubt, I think he just says yellow card.
It will be debated a lot. Either way, last night's game being described as a training ground routine for Bayern Munich, but a training ground routine where they didn't add that second goal until late on. Credit to Arsenal, surely, Will, for holding out with 10 men as they did.
Yeah, you know, Bayern weren't at their best. They're not as good as we've seen them at patches in the Bundesliga this season, and away at Manchester City sort of earlier in the season in the Champions League. That said, they still got the job done. They didn't concede. I think Arsenal, sometimes teams are galvanised by going down a player, and I think Arsenal did everything they could defensively. They had nothing to offer going forward, really, after they've lost that that player, because the legs were gone and so much defensive work is done against Bayern. I think even when these teams like Bayern and Barcelona aren't that impressive in the way that they dispatch teams, they're still doing their job so effectively. And what they did, they just wore Arsenal down, and it was almost an inevitable conclusion that they had a good opening later on and they capitalised on it.
Of the two teams that have played English opposition this week, Barca and Bayern get lauded as being two of the most beautiful sides to watch. Who's impressed you more out of these two?
Oh, undoubtedly Bayern this season. I think Barcelona are a team in transition under Tata Martino. They're playing a different game than the one that they played under Guardiola, certainly. And I think that Bayern remarkably evolved into an even better side than the side that won the Champions League last season. They didn't show all of that against Arsenal, but let's face it, they're on the road in the Champions League. I think there comes a time when even great sides, if you go and win 2-0 away against a side at the top of one of Europe's major leagues, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter how you play if you get the job done. But of the two, if Bayern played Barcelona, my money still at this point would be on Bayern to prevail.
Now, everybody is saying that these two ties, both City, Barca and Bayern against Arsenal, are both over. Everybody's been very quick to jump onto this 2-0 deficit. It's too difficult to go to Spain and Germany, respectively, and turn this round. Do you buy into that, Will, or has either of these sides got a decent chance of overturning this?
Yeah, I think both sides are 95% dead. I give pretty much zero chance to Arsenal going to Germany, even though they won that game last year. Let's not forget that game really didn't mean a lot to Bayern. The job was done almost, and it's a mentality issue. I just think Bayern are so strong. I think they are looking to make a statement at home in that tie. I would give City a slim chance because I think Barca have been vulnerable defensively, and I think if City can somehow channel that sort of aggression and forward dominance. And they need to get, Negredo needs to have a huge influence. Yaya Toure needs to be the man. And I don't think he's been the man in City's big games recently. I don't think we saw what we wanted to see in that first league game against Chelsea. I don't think he was as dominant as we might have wanted against Barcelona. So for that to happen, it needs to be something special. City need to score early. The problem they've got against Barcelona is can you stop Barcelona scoring at Camp Nou? I think that's a very, very difficult task. If that happens, then you're looking at City scoring, you know, three times. I don't know, a very big ask. I don't think either will go through, but if you have to say which had the more chance, I would say City.
But Arsenal were able to almost ruffle some feathers, especially early on when it was 11 against 11. And if Ozil doesn't miss that penalty, we're talking about a very different game at the Emirates last night.
Yeah, absolutely. But isn't that just Arsenal all over, though? I mean, isn't it a question of a group of talented players who can, on their day, dispatch most teams, who play with a wonderful flair and excitement, but that mentality is just not quite there for me. And I think it's almost depicted in the way that Ozil takes that penalty. That situation, and I know, obviously, Bayern missed the penalty themselves, but I just think Ozil needs to be definitive on where he's going to put the ball. He hits the ball at a goalkeeper's ideal height. I don't think he was assertive in the way he stepped up. At least with Alaba's penalty, he was going to the bottom corner and he missed the target. Now, I don't know, there's an element of error that comes into all situations like that. But I think with Ozil, a player of that technical capabilities, he should have been more authoritative with that penalty kick. And then I also think mentally, you're going to have challenges in big Champions League and Premier League games. That's what we've seen with the great teams, is how you respond to those challenges. Arsenal didn't respond to missing that penalty in the way they ought to have done. They ought to have drove home their advantage from missing that penalty and then scored. And they didn't. They were sort of shell-shocked by it. Ozil disappeared into his own shell. Yeah, and then of course, he had the sending off. And they did okay. They held it together. I just don't think they're mentally strong enough, Ollie. I really don't.
Is Mesut Ozil not looking mentally strong enough at all? And been lambasted, as you say as well, for the style in which he took that penalty. I mean, in general, Will, we're all not fans, surely, of the person that takes a kind of two-step walking run up to a penalty and tries to kind of outmaneuver the keeper and make the keeper move first, are we?
I think if it works for you, we were talking to Stan Collymore about this morning, and talking about names from the past, like John Aldridge was the player who used to take that sort of dummy step, and it was very effective for him. Robbie Fowler has used it to great effect. I just think what works for you, you've got to have your own decision made up. And we've seen recently with Steven Gerrard being very impressive from the penalty spot. Frank Lampard has historically been very impressive. These are players who know where they're going to put the ball, make a decision early and just follow through on it. And then if the goalkeeper makes a fine save, then, you know, fair play to the goalkeeper. I don't think Neuer had to make a fantastic save last night. I think he kind of flopped to the side that Ozil went for, and he had a pretty easy palm up. I mean, obviously, still a good save. Any penalty save is a good save. But, you know, you go low into the bottom corner if you're in any doubt, and you know, 9 times out of 10, the ball's in the net.
Now, are you on this waste of money Ozil bandwagon that some Arsenal fans seem to be on right now? Are you giving him both barrels, not just for the penalty miss last night, but his attitude in the last few weeks? Or is this a player that still just needs to grow into Arsenal's side and into the Premier League?
I think there is a settling in period. I think I see a parallel, really, with Juan Mata. And it's interesting because, obviously, Jose Mourinho didn't think he saw enough in matter to fight to keep him. There was that issue, I think, with Ozil, with Mourinho at Madrid, although he started some games and he often bought off by Mourinho. These are players who have incredible technical gifts, but, you know, Ozil has some adjusting to do. As we always say, life in the Premier League is very much unlike life in La Liga and in the Bundesliga. It's intense, and Ozil, to me, looks a tired player. He looks a player who needs a pep in his step. And it probably doesn't help him, of course. I think Arsenal fans are getting frustrated. That's the problem with the big price tag. He was seen as Arsenal's saviour, the guy who could win them that trophy that they'd been eluded, you know, has eluded them so long. And yet, you know, now when they need him most, I think, to be honest, he needs to be rested. And I think Wenger might be wise to just have him on the bench for the next couple of games, even though they're big games, and just bring him back fresh.
And Ozil's failures now is putting pressure on a lot of other players. Plenty of talk last night about how much Arsenal miss Aaron Ramsey at this moment in time. A man who was receiving the abuse like I've not seen from any Arsenal player take from the fans at points in his Emirates career. But now suddenly he's being picked by Arsenal fans as being this potential saviour once he gets back from injury.
Yeah, I think the thing about Ramsey is that what Arsenal have lacked all this time is somebody who stands on that field and says, I'll put this team on my shoulders if I need to. And I'll go on a run and I'll score 5-6 goals in the next 7 games. And I'll set up goals and I'll take the game by the scruff of the neck. I don't think we've had that from Arsenal since they've missed Ramsey, because we wanted that. We've wanted that all along from Jack Wilshere, but we haven't seen it. And I don't, whether that's a fitness thing or not, I'm not sure. And Wilshere, again, technically you can't doubt him. He's got all the skill set. He can do these things a lot of these players in Spain that we lord can do. But is he dictating games on the European stage for Arsenal? Not for a while. You know, that's when he first came onto the scene, when he first stepped into the Champions League, and you were like, hang on a second, this kid is a bit special. He's playing it. You know, I think it was a game against Barcelona, perhaps, where he just did it. And you were like, this is a guy who can win games for Arsenal. And now you're thinking, well, this is a cog player for Arsenal, and probably not as effective even as Cazorla or Oxlade-Chamberlain, really, in an attacking sense. So where are these players? Where is, you know, we go back to these players of Arsenal of old. Where is the Vieira? Where's Thierry Henry? Where is the person who stands up and says, okay, we've still got the Premier League title to fight for here. Where's the player that's going to do it? It's been Ramsey. There needs to be somebody else.
But how surprised are you that Wilshere hasn't taken on that mantle? Because, as you say, we were all expecting it. We all knew he had the gifts and the talent. It seems maybe that the injury has been a mental knock to him, being out for so long. Has that, do you think, put him back maybe, you know, 2-3 years mentally in the game as well as physically?
Maybe. I don't think you know unless you're inside the player's head. I don't think anyone can question Wilshere has the fight, and he has the loyalty, and he has the technical ability. And he's not executed. You know, Ramsey had these injury questions, and he responded. He's come back as a better player from his injuries. That's what we're wanting to see from Wilshere. But he does need to have a run of 1-2 seasons where he's relatively injury-free. And he hasn't had that yet. So, he, you know, as a midfielder, as a physical player, as someone who accelerates and does the things he does, you know, that would unsettle somebody of the, you know, Iniesta and Xavi ilk. And mostly these players avoid injury somehow. You know, you don't see Iniesta or Xavi out for long periods normally. So Wilshere does need a settling period. And, you know, maybe he needs somebody more authoritative, you know, alongside him.
Just finally, Will, there was obviously the gesture from Wojciech Szczęsny as well as he left the pitch last night. I won't describe it, but I think we all know what I'm talking about here. He's going to be in a bit of trouble for that in general, but do you think this is a very minor part to play in what is Arsenal's bigger campaign for this year? Or is this signs of, you know, massive frustration coming in from the depths of the squad, as some people have maybe suggested?
No, I didn't think it was a big deal, really. I think these days, cameras and screen grabs capture everything. He was walking off the field. He was frustrated, as you would want a player to be. And as a manager, if my player is sent off and he's unhappy with the decision, he's unhappy with the fate of his team that he leaves behind, I want to see some frustration. You know, I want to see someone kicking the hoardings or, you know, and obviously it's an inappropriate gesture to be shown to the masses, and that these ways to get these sort of things get proliferated so freely these days. But no, I think Chesney's just—he's an expressive guy, and he was upset with what happened last night. And fair play to him. And hopefully, all of the Arsenal players were upset by what happened. And hopefully, they go to the Alliance Arena, and the very least they do is they put in the kind of performance that has people saying, you know what, Arsenal can win the Premier League title if they can have this kind of guts and you know.
They need a bit of oomph back into their step, that's for sure. Just of all the teams we've seen so far in the Champions League this week, who are you most impressed by then? Who looks like out of these sides that we've seen on Wednesday and Tuesday, these eight sides that could actually go and win this? I'm assuming Bayern are obviously in that category at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Bayern for winning Arsenal quite comfortably without really playing at their best. Barcelona for just a wealth of talent and experience to get it done. In terms of the team that played best this week, I think it was Atletico Madrid. I watched that game back on replay against Milan, and you know, Milan had a lot of chances, and they were actually better than a lot of people maybe expected them to be. But Atletico Madrid are getting it done this season. They're a team that's gelled. They're a team in high, high confidence, and they have in Diego Costa, I think, right now, he's vying with Luis Suarez for this, in all fairness, but, you know, one of the hot strikers, form strikers, and most deadly strikers in European football right now. Now, if Costa gets a chance, as he did against Milan last night, he can take up, if Atletico Madrid get a good quarter-final draw, I think we could see them in the last four, and I think that they will be a good match for anybody they play based on what I've seen this season.
I'm telling you, Will, if Milan finished those for early chances last night, they were the better side for 60 minutes. Come on, man. You've got to give the Rossoneri their dues for that performance last night.
Yeah, Ollie, you do. But listen, winning it, getting through in the Champions League, it's not about dominating every game. It's about getting results when you're up against the cosh. It's about having a goalkeeper like Thibaut Courtois, who made some fantastic saves last night. Now, Atletico Madrid have got, I would say, probably the form goalkeeper in Europe, between the sticks, the form striker in the Champions League leading the line. They've got a host of players in midfield that everybody in Europe wants to sign. Okay, they were maybe fortunate that they didn't concede last night, but, you know, I think they'll go through this tie, and I don't think anyone will fancy playing them. They've won every game at home in the Champions League this season. You know, Milan are just an unpredictable outfit, and they didn't take their chances. Perhaps reflects a little bit on them also.
It's a very kind of hotly contested view then, I think, this who's going to go through from Atletico and Milan after that second leg. I'm putting a few more chips back in Milan's corner for the away trip to the Vicente Calderon. We will talk to you, I'm sure, when we get around to those games next up in the Champions League, or maybe even next week if you can fit us in, Will, for a little bit of Champions League chat around Chelsea and Manchester United as well. But for now, thank you so much for joining us, mate. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ollie. Pleasure as always, mate.
Cheers, Will. Take care. Have a good one. Big thanks there to Will Tardy for joining us here on World Football Daily, talking about last night's Champions League action. Joining me, as always, anyway, though, here on World Football Daily is, of course, Rafa. Mate, Rafa, how are we on this fine day?